Comfort Brad, you can make some good after Brother Darrell, all right? For Joshua chapter 9 and 10. 9 and 10. 9 verse 3. Joshua 9 verse 3. Brother Darrell read through verse 16. And then Brother Brad, if you come read through from 16 to 27, down to the end of the chapter. And let's see who else we can get to read here. Louis, you come up. Louis, you can get read. Chapter 10, 1 through 14, Joshua. Okay? Brother Darrell, you come read first. Would you please? 9 and 10 of Joshua.
Joshua 9, starting verse 3, says, "And when the inhabitants of Gideon heard that Joshua had done unto Jericho and unto Ai, they did work willingly and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses and wine bottles old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and caught it upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provisions were dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua and unto the camp of Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, We be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, Peradventure ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? And they said unto Joshua, We are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, Who are ye? And from whence come ye? And they said unto him, From a very far country thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him, and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, which was at Ashkelon. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, Take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, We are your servants. Therefore now make ye a league with us. This is our bread we took hot for our provisions out of our houses on the day we came for to go unto you. But now, behold, it is dry, and it is moldy. And these bottles of wine which we filled were new, and behold, they be rent. And these our garments and our shoes are become old and reaped by reason of a very long journey. And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live. And the princes of their congregation swear unto them. And it came to pass, at the end of 3 days, after they had made the league with them, that they heard that they were their neighbors, and that they did dwell among them." They dwelt among them.
And the children of Israel journeyed and came unto their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon, and Shephira, and Beerah, and Kirjath-Jearim. And the children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. And all the congregation murmured against the princes. But all the princes said unto all the congregation, We have sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. Now therefore may we not touch them. This will we do to them. We will even let them live, lest wrath be upon us, because of the oath which we swear unto them. And the princes said unto them, Let them live, but let them be hewers of wood and of drawers of water unto all the congregation, as the princes had promised them. And Joshua called for them, and spake unto them, saying, Wherefore have you beguiled us, saying, We are very far from you, when ye dwell among us? Now therefore you are cursed, and there shall be none of you be freed from being bondmen, and hewers of wood, and drawers of water for the house of my God. And they answered Joshua and said, Because it was certainly told by servants, how that the Lord thy God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land, and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore we were sore afraid of our lives because of you, and have done this thing. And now behold, we are in thine hand, as it seemeth good and right unto thee, do unto us, do. And so did he unto them, and delivered them out of the hand of the children of Israel, that they slew them not. And Joshua made in that day hewers of wood and jars of water for the congregation, and for the altar of the Lord, even unto this day, and the place which he should choose.
We just all stand as we read the 10th chapter, verse 1 through verse 14.
Now it came to pass when Adonijah, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, that he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city, as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men there were mighty. Wherefore Adonijah, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Hoham, king of Hebron, and unto Piram, king of Jarmuth, and unto Japhia, king of Lachish, and unto Debri, king of Eglon, saying, Come up unto me and help me, that we may smite Gibeon, for it has made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. Therefore the five kings of the Amorites, the kings of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their hosts, and encamped before Gibeon, and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp of Gilgad, saying, Slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly, and save us, and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgad, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly, and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel, and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and traced them along the way that goeth to Bethron, and smote them to Azekah, and unto Makkadah. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel, and were in the going down to Bethron, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them, unto Azekah, and they died. There were more which died with hailstones, and they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said, In the sight of Israel, sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Joshua? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and had not gone down about a whole day. And there was no day like that day before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord forth for Israel.
Okay, could we read together verse number 6, please? 6, and then the last verse, 14. This is in chapter 10. Verse 6, let's read together. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp of Gilgal, saying, Slack not thy hand from thy servants, come up with us quickly, and save us, and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell on the mountains are gathered together against us. Now verse 14, And there was no day like that before or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought with Israel.
Amen. Please put the air conditioner, put on air conditioning, please, on 72 degrees. We won't freeze, we'll make it out. Mm-hmm.
some air in here. Amen.
I haven't even got started. I'm warm already. Automatic air conditioning in 72.
All right.
I'm glad I'm saved. It's a long reading. I think Brother Louie got the hard reading, don't you? All those names. So glad he did better than I definitely do. I declare. Difficult, the names in the Bible. I thought when I was growing up I was good at phonics, but I learned the older I get, the worse I get. Could be that way. I know more Bible, it's kind of hard to pronounce. I used to think I could spell something. My wife, she's becoming a better speller, and I'm getting worse. I don't know. I used to think it'd be a good thing to get old. I changed my mind. I'd rather go to heaven where you never get old. Amen. And one day I'll be there. Sure? Yeah, I'm sure. Amen. And you're here maybe this morning so you'd get sure. Get that settled. I've been redeemed. See, redeemed people have to go to heaven.
Amen. The blood of Jesus is purchased. I've been bought with a price with the precious blood of Jesus.
That's become effectual when I just simply put faith, childlike faith, in the Lord Jesus, and I'm saved. All saved people have to go to heaven. Amen. All lost people have to go to hell if they die in that condition. But I'm not one of those. I was lost, but now I'm found. I've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I belong to God. And what He owns, He's taken to heaven with Him. Amen. When He comes back, now I may have to die and go that way and die and be put in the ground. Or, if Jesus comes back, we'll be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But either way, I belong to Him. And He's going to take us all home to heaven. By the way, there's a song, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I tell you, I've got another home." You say, "I love it down here." Well, you can have it all when I go. I don't care about this life here. I want a new heaven and a new earth. We said in Sunday school that Abraham said he looked for a builder, a city whose builder and maker is God. I'm looking for the eternal Jerusalem. You can have the one down here. I'll tell you, the Jerusalem over there, you check it out in the Revelation, it's called a wicked city. What is it called? Isn't that called the whore city? You check it out. Now, I know Rome is too. Don't hang on now. Amen. But you check it out. The record. I know she's the holy city, the city of David. But I'll tell you, she's gone and it was in Jerusalem. They took Jesus outside of Jerusalem and crucified our lovely Savior. I'm looking for the new city. Amen. New Jerusalem. You can have the old one. I'd like to go over and see it. I'd like to see where Jesus walked. I'd like to see Calvary. I never have gone there. Bud Lyles was with us last week. He went over there. If I don't get over there in this life, I'll tell you what, I'll be able to see anything I want to see when I get over to heaven. I'd like to speak to you on these verses now. I know that was a long reading, but we need the Scriptures. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Two chapters. I almost read a chapter and a half, two chapters. That's more than some of you all read all week. Shame on our sorry unfaithful selves. Amen. Now, I read more than that, but I'm saying we can allow that to happen to us. We're all made out of the same rotten dirt. Amen. We've got the same old dirty devil to fight. Amen. But I'm going to a place where there is no devil. He's been cast out, and I'll have victory over there. I want to preach to you about amazing grace, or let me live. Let them live. Let us live. Here we see in the Scriptures, we need to get back to the part. Here's what took place. Back there, Moses, you remember, was buried by God. He was such a great man, so they wouldn't worship his carcass. And God buried him, and he saw the land of Canaan, but Joshua was the one that took them in and won the victory. And Joshua's name is Jesus. The Old Testament name Joshua is Jesus, and it's proven in Hebrews. There it says Jesus brought them in. That Jesus there is Joshua. You check it out in the Hebrews, book of Hebrews. And so they're the same name. You see, it's Greek and it's the Hebrew, you see. Jesus is Joshua. And Joshua brought the children of Israel across the Jordan River on dry ground, just like Moses and God opened the Red Sea and they went across. millions of people. So they come across Jordan on dry ground. But before they went over Jordan, there were two kings killed. There were two nations destroyed. Sihon, we read about those just a little bit ago. These two different kings were killed. And then they went over. They went over into the promised land and they destroyed Jericho. So here they have three nations destroyed. And then you remember they had all this trouble with Ai going up. And Achan, we went through that Sunday school, and Achan took of the accursed thing. Boy, I tell you, we need to be careful we don't take God's money. Amen. God didn't just slap Achan's hand. God slapped him into hell is what I believe he did. I mean, God killed him. They put stones over him, and then they burned him. The whole family, check the record out. We have the record in Scripture of what took place, the curse that was upon them, and how God dealt with sin. But they took of the gold and silver that was dedicated to God, and they took it and put it in cake and put it among his own things. God judged him for that, destroyed him. We better be careful that we give to God what's rightly due him. Amen. By the way, he owns it all. Someone says, God owns the hills. And another old country preacher says, God owns all the taters under the hills, too. God owns it all. Cattle on 1,000 hills. God owns everything. And he owns us if we're saved. And he deserves everything. And what took place is, here there were two kings on the east of Jordan, where later the Manasseh and Ephraim and the half-tribe of Gad, and then half-tribes of Manasseh and Ephraim were over there on the east side. Two kings were killed. Then Jericho was taken. And then eventually they went up and took Ai. And then what happened is the Gibeonites became fearful. They heard about their crossing the Red Sea and all the Egyptians being drowned. They'd heard that. Then they heard about the Jordan River being dried up and this whole nation walking across the Jordan on dry ground. They'd heard about the two kings that were killed, and these great kingdoms were killed over there on the east side of Jordan. Then they come over in this huge fortified city of Jericho. The walls come tumbling down when they gave a shout, and they went in and destroyed everyone except Rahab and her family. Everything died. Because God said, I don't want a thing breathing. They're wicked people, and I want it all destroyed. They heard about that, this huge city, Jericho, and then Ai got taken finally, and the Gibeonites were just shaking with fear and trembling and saying, we're next. We're only 3 days away. Only 3 days away. We're real close by. We're next. And all we want mercy. For they'd heard the word of God. You check the record out. They'd heard that God had told Israel to not have mercy on anyone. Destroy them, utterly destroy all those wicked kings and those wicked godless nations that were idol worshippers, were filled with homosexuality, filled with all sorts of perversion, all sorts of beast sin and everything. They were wicked, wicked nations, and Gibeon was a huge city, and they became fearful. They said, we just believe we're next. You remember in Jericho, they were trembling in Jericho. But they trembled on into hell except for Rahab. They knew they were next, but they didn't come for mercy. And so the scripture says that the Gibeonites feared, and they feared, and they feared so much, and it's strange, it seems like there was no king for the Gibeonites. It seems like there were many elders in the cities of Gibeon, this nation of Gibeon. And that somehow they got together, and all of them with one accord said, we need to do something before we're completely destroyed and annihilated. For this is God's word, the God of the Hebrews. He is the God, and we're going to get destroyed like Jericho, like Ai, like Sihon, and like Og. We're going to be destroyed. And they got fearful, and they said, we got to do something. And they said, well, we don't know what else to do. We'll just tell them we're from a far-off country, and we'll get some old clothes, and we'll get some old shoes and clots on our feet, and get some old wine bottles and some old moldy bread, and we'll get ourselves and dishevel ourselves and look real bad, and we'll go up there and ask for them to make a league with us, because we know that the God of the Hebrews is a merciful God. And if they make a league with us, they'll keep their word. And so they said, well, that's all we can do, is ask for mercy. And so the scripture says, they came to Joshua and the elders, and they said, we've come from a very faraway country, can't you tell? Here's our moldy bread. Here's our old wine bottles. Look at our clothes and our shoes. We've come like the wise men came to
to Jerusalem to see Jesus, Bethlehem. They came a long way.
That came a long way. They saw that star 2 years earlier. You check the record out. Amen? You check out about Herod. He inquired of them. You remember he killed every child 2 years old and under, tried to kill them all. Why? Because they'd seen that star 2 years earlier. Started coming. Well, they just like the wise men, here they come, the Gibeonites, and said, oh, we're going to be annihilated. We're fearful. We know that God is a God of mercy, but He's also a God of wrath and judgment. Look what He did to Jericho. I don't know. Maybe they heard. I don't know, but maybe they heard that Rahab got saved. She should have been destroyed. Maybe they heard that. I don't know. I know one thing. They heard the Word of God. And they believed the Word of God. And they believed they were doomed. They were going to be destroyed and killed and forever annihilated and away from God's presence, and their life was going to be gone. And they feared unto action and to repentance. And they came and asked for mercy and said, please make a league with us. And they did. The elders and Joshua did not inquire of the Lord. And they didn't come and ask God about it, or God would have said, they're lying to you. But they got in a hurry and they said, okay, we'll make a league with you. 3 days later, isn't it something? 3 days? Hallelujah, Jesus came out of that grave. 3 days. Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. They went 3 days and they found out that these people were just three days away. Right there in the land. But they said, we've kept our word. We'll have to keep our word. We can't kill them. We'll have to show mercy to them. Aren't you glad that Jesus keeps His word? God keeps His word. And Joshua is the type of Jesus here. And the Gibeonites are a type of a whole nation who are bound for hell fire. And God says, I'm going to save them. You say, well, they lied about it. So did Rahab. But God saved her. God saw her faith. We're all born, come out of the womb liars. All sinners are liars. Amen. You say, they lied about it. But all they were seeking was mercy. Now, I'll tell you what. When the word was said, and they made a league with them, they kept it, and they said, well, we can't kill you now, but we'll make you hewers of wood and carriers of water. I'm telling you, God, Jesus, when Jesus saves you, He's got something for you to do. Amen? But I'd like you to know, first of all, we need to go back here just a little bit and see these couple verses. I'll tell you, they sought the mercy of God. It says in verse 6 of chapter 9, look at that verse that we read already. And they went to Joshua unto the camp of Gilgal and said unto him and to the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. The only answer is, if you want mercy, you've got to come to Jesus. They came to Joshua, and Joshua was the answer. And Jesus is our answer. He's our answer. And we need to come as a slave and a servant unto Jesus. Look what they say in verse 8. And they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. Boy, that's the only way you can come to Jesus. You can't say, I'm really good, God. You'd like to save me, wouldn't you? Because I am so good. That's the way some people come. You come that way, you can't be saved. You'll be doomed. You'll be damned. God will send you to hell. God's not interested in what you are. He wants to save you. The Bible says we're no good. Amen. We're not good. We're no good. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. They said, we're just servants. We're slaves. We're going to be your slaves. When you get to that place and you come to Jesus that way, He'll save you too. Amen? I'll tell you, we talked to a fellow down there in the store. He came out and was going to show us all his rings and all this jewelry. We went in the store. My wife didn't bother. She went out, and Linda and I went in the store. I told him, lady, you ought to get your stuff out on the street. You got a beautiful store here. He's worried about his business. I said, you need to get saved. And he kind of a little joked around. I said, the love of money is the root of all evil. He said, well, I love money. He said it about 10 times. I love money. He said, man. I said, well, you can't. Money won't buy your health. He said, it'll help you get your treatment in the hospital. I said, God gave you your health to begin. I said, you're going to die and go to hell. He said, oh, well, hell's not so bad. Hell's a good place, isn't it? And I said, some false prophet told you that, too. Amen. You're going to burn there forever. Boy, Linda got after his hide. He could speak in English, one of the few. And I thought to myself, you're just so intellectual, you're in bad shape. I asked him if he was in the poor crowd or the rich crowd. You know, they have two different groups in Mexico. They're either real poor or they're real rich. He said, I'm in the poor crowd. But he wanted to be rich. I said, well, love of money is the root of all evil. You're going to die and go to hell. didn't seem too concerned. We just kept quoting scripture at him. But I tell you what, the truth of the matter is, thank God most of the people out there aren't like that. They realize their condition and they're down. You can't come to Jesus that way. That fella has got to humble himself. He can't be saved. He's got to realize that there's something better than money. Amen? Something better, and that's God. And here they'd heard the word of God. By the way, they lied like Rahab. And then look at verse number 12. It says, our bread and our... And then verse 13, and these bottles of wine. Isn't that strange? The bread and wine, that's what we use at the communion table as well. And they bring these things, and they say, look at this. By the way, the same thing, their shoes and everything. And what? That's what God kept in all their garments. He provided all that through the wilderness wanderings for the children of Israel, provided for them. So here you have the two different things. And Jesus, it's His broken body and it's His shed blood that saves us. Amen? Faith in Him and His work on the cross. Then look at verse 15. It says, and Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live. I'll tell you what, you better make peace with Jesus. He's the Prince of Peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. See, that fellow had peace that I talked to. He had peace, but he's just in his own false peace. You know, they said there'll be peace when there is no peace. Oh, the peace of God's what I was talking about. He was talking about a different kind of peace. He just loved himself so much. That's the way most of us were before we got saved. We love ourselves a whole lot. I thought I was the best little Methodist on 2 feet. I was so proud of me, Brother Darrell. I was good. I didn't smoke. I didn't drink liquor. I didn't tell nasty stories. I didn't go out and sin with girls. I was a good sinner. Good sinners and bad sinners, they all go to hell. Amen? You got to get washed in the blood and have your sins all washed away. You can't get into heaven with your sin. So I'm a good person. You may be a moral sinner, but you're still a sinner. Amen? You got to come to Jesus. You got to have peace with... You don't get the peace of God until you make peace with God. It said they made peace with Joshua. Thank God, when you make peace with Jesus, everything's okay. Listen, in the words of Joshua was their security. And in the words of the Bible is our security. That's the words of Christ. That's the Word of God. That's our hope. 3 days later, they find out. Look what it says here. In verse 16, it came to pass at the end of 3 days, after they had made a league with them, that they heard that they were their neighbors and that they dwelt among them. Well, isn't that something? Look at verse 21, we told you. Verse 21 of chapter number 9. 21:9, it says, and the princes said unto them, let them live, but let them be hewers of wood and drawers of water unto all the congregation, as the princes had promised them. Look at verse 23. Now therefore ye are cursed, and we're all cursed with a curse till Jesus lifts the curse. We're all under sin. We've all sinned and come short. We've missed the mark that God has for perfection. We're all sinners. We don't all sin alike, but we're all alike sinners. We're all sinners. We're all cursed with a curse. The curse of unbelief. Until we believe. Amen? But I've believed. I'm the Son. And He saved me. Look at what it says here. Verse 23, you're cursed with a curse. Then there shall none of you be freed from being bondmen and hewers of wood and drawers of water for the house of my God. But God showed amazing grace here to the fact that He said, I'm going to let you be hewers of wood for the altar of God and for the sacrifices of Israel. And the way to heaven is through the blood of the sacrifices. The way to communion with God for the Old Testament Jews was the lamb. Amen? It was the beast that was the ox or the lamb or the goat. And his blood was that which was made entrance to God. And they were to hew the wood and carry the water for the priest to wash in. Many washings, you remember. Thank God we're washed by the water of the Word. Amen? God said, I'll tell you what, you're cursed, but you ask mercy. God will keep His word. We won't kill you. We'll let you live. And aren't you glad that Jesus said, I'm going to save them. I'm going to let them live. I'm going to live forever. Thank God. And He said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep them close to my sacrifices, close to my church, close to my heart, these heathens. And they became the nephews.
They became the helpers of the Levites, and the very city Gibeon became one of the Levite cities. You check it out. That's grace. They deserved hell. They deserved to be annihilated like those in Jericho because they were wicked sinners. There were 31 kings and kingdoms. Check it out. 31 kings and kingdoms that Israel annihilated. Thank God they didn't. I just asked for mercy. Though they lied about it, God brought them in. Though Rahab lied about it, and everybody in the city died, everybody in Rahab's house lived. And all her stuff, too. Amen? God put old Rahab in her house like God put Noah in the ark. Amen? And destroyed all the rest. Saved Rahab, and he destroyed all these 31 nations, but he saved Gibeon. Thank God for grace. Look at verse 27. And Joshua made them hewers of wood and drawers of water for the congregation, for the altar of the Lord, even unto this day. That's grace. Amen. And now look what happened. As soon as that happened, they made alliance and made this league. It was a big city, Gibeon. We're a big nation too. Amen. Gentiles, Jesus has brought us in. We're nothing but dogs and swine, but Jesus came to save those dogs and swine. Not just the Jews. Amen? And they heard about it, the other kingdoms, and you know what they did? They got upset. They gathered their kingdoms together, and they said, we're going to go out and fight Gibeon, because they made a league with them. And look what happened. Here's what happened. Look at verse number 2 of chapter 10 now. Chapter 2. It says, that verse 1, it says, it came to pass when Adonizedek, the king of Jerusalem,
destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king, and now the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel, and were among them, that they greatly feared greatly, and because Gibeon was a great city, as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai. And all the men thereof were mighty. Wherefore, Adonizedek, he gets all these other five kings together. Verse 4, come up, come to me, and help me, that we may smite Gibeon. For it hath made peace with Joshua and the children of Israel. And they get these kings together. And it says in verse number 6, and the men of Gibeon said unto Joshua, and I'll tell you, when you get in trouble, Christian, you need to run to Jesus. Our answer and our hope and our strength and our preservation and our protection is in Jesus. The whole devil's crowd got upset. Listen, you get in Christ and they'll hate you too. Amen. When you get saved, or the old devil's crowd, surely it seems like you didn't even know they were around, and all of a sudden the old devil's crowd would start coming at you. You better run to Jesus. Says they went to Joshua to the camp of Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servant. He's saying, Joshua, Gibeon said, Joshua, don't forget, we're your slaves down here. We belong to you now. You purchased us. You made a league with us. Now help us. Amen. Look what he says. And save us. Amen. Come up. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us. Amen. Oh, Jesus, save us. Now we're in trouble. The devil's after us. And our help, hope is in the Lord. Amen. And all the kings of Amorites dwell in the mountains. And so Joshua ascended from Gilgal, and he and all, verse 7, all the people of war with him, and the mighty men, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them in thy hand. Jesus saved them. Amen? Jesus saved us. And the Bible said that more were killed by these stones in verse 11 that fell out of hail, stones that came out, and the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon all these different wicked people. God will send some stones and hail upon the wicked. More died from that. God's our protection. Amen. And in the middle of the battle, I'll tell you what, Joshua needed help. And you know what he did? I'll tell you what, when Jesus saves you, he's going to keep you and protect you. There hath no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted. Above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. And they're in trouble, and you know what Jesus said? Joshua said, Lord, they're still out there, and they're not all dead. Would you just let the sun stand still? Just about a day is all we need, God. And God had the sun stand still in the sky for about a day. And I'm told about the scientists
they checked back, and they found that there's a day missing somewhere. Well, we've got it in the Bible, amen? There's a day missing. God just set there. How do you think the heathen felt about that? The sun's still up there. I mean, no one's worth fighting. That's about other people. Hey, there's still daylight up there. Hey, things are changing. Hey, the dial's not going down. They didn't have clocks back then. They had sundials, you know? Hey, the sun's not, it's still up there. The moon ain't coming. Wow, what's going on around here? Well, God's got his children. He's got to protect his children. These slaves that he's bought with his own blood. He's got to protect Gibeon. And the sun didn't go down until Joshua had defeated and destroyed all those wicked men. Jesus will protect us. That's great grace. That's protracted grace. That's lasting grace that goes on after Jesus saves you. He keeps you. And we can go further than that. Later on, Saul came up against the Gibeonites and did many of them and killed many of them. And you know what God said under David? David said, is there something we can do for you, Gibeonites? And they said, well, we don't want any money or gold, but what we want is the heads of those wicked, some of Saul's relatives. And God, David gave him seven of them. Seven of them. Five and two. Three, no, seven. I'm not wrong. They hung up seven of them and let their bodies just hang there. God gave them a respite because of that. God gave them grace. Why? Because sin has to be paid. Sin has to be paid for. God is a God of mercy. But the same God that said, I'm going to save Gibeon, I'm going to protect Gibeon, I'm going to cause the sun to stand still because they're mine. In the same time, he was slaughtering all those wicked heathens that hated God. Cutting them up and sending them all to hell. Say, I wouldn't do that. No, but you're not God. Let me hear some of Bobby W. preaching. You couldn't believe in God in the Bible. You wouldn't have to believe in the Bible. Same God. What did he say? Let the just be just still. Let the filthy be filthy still. Let the righteous be righteous still. And the holy be... And all, look over in Revelation. Amen. What? He's a God of justice. He's a God. He saves. And yet what? There's judgment. There's death or mercy. Amen. Death or life. Well, thank God for his continuing grace. Continuing grace. Well, I've got a number of others here, but our time is gone. I'll just mention them. God saved Lot and destroyed all of Sodom. God saved Noah and destroyed the whole earth with water. God saved Rahab and destroyed the whole city of Jericho. God saved the congregation who believed and looked to the brass serpent and destroyed all those that would not look on the brass serpent that was raised up by Moses in the wilderness. God destroyed 31 kingdoms, kings and nations, and saved Gibeon and showed mercy to Gibeon. And God, the whole world was doomed and on their way to hell, and Jesus came and shed his blood and gave his life at Calvary and said, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Jesus came to say, those that don't believe in him will be damned and doomed. I have so many people come and say, what about the heathen? They're lost. The Bible says they're lost. It doesn't matter how my sympathetic soul talks to me. It's what the Bible says. When God talks to me, I listen. And I put my sympathy and all my sluggish and sloppy, lovey-dovey stuff that I've been taught, I have to put it aside and believe.